Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today's reading from Canto 10, Chapter 22, entitled Krishna Steals the Gopis' Garments, verses 13 and 14. Evam bruvati govinde narmanaksita cetashaha akanta magnaksito de vepamanastam abruvam evam bruvati govinde narmanakshipta cetasaha akanta magnaksitode vepamanastam abruvan evam bruvati govinde narmanakshipta cetasaha akanta magnah sitode vepamanastam abruvan. Evam bruvati govinde armana ksipta cetasaha akanta magnaksitode vepamanastam habruvan. Evam bruvati govinde Armana kshipta cetasaha akanta magnasitade vepamanastam abruvan. Thank you for chanting. We'll do word by word translation. Evam. Thus, bruvati, speaking, Govinda, Lord Govinda, Narmana, by his joking words, Akshipta, agitated, Chetasaha, their minds, akanta, up to their necks, magnaha, submerged, sita, cold, ude, in the water, vepam manaha, shivering, tam, to him, abruvan, they spoke. Translation. As Sri Govinda spoke to the gopis in this way, His joking words completely captivated their minds, submerged up to their necks. In the cold water, they began to shiver. Thus they addressed him as follows. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Sri Ravishmanata Chakravati Thakur gives the following example of joking between Krishna and the gopis. Krishna says, "O bird-like girls, if you do not come here, then with these garments caught in the branches, I will make a swing and a hammock. I need to lie down since I have spent the entire night awake and am now becoming sleepy." Gopis say, "Our dear cowherd boy, your cows, greedy for grass, have gone into a cave, so you must quickly go there to herd them back on the proper path." Krishna: "Come now, my dear cowherd girls, you must quickly go from here to Vraja to perform your household duties. Don't become a disturbance to your parents and other elders." Gopis: "Our dear Krishna, we will not go home for an entire month, for it is by the order of our parents and elders that we are executing this vow of fasting, the Katyayani Vrata." Krishna: "My dear austere ladies, I too, by the strength of seeing you, have now developed a surprising mood of detachment from family life. I wish to stay here for a month and execute the vow of dwelling in the clouds. And if you show mercy to me, I can come down from here and observe the vow of fasting in your company." The gopis were completely captivated by Krishna's joking words, but out of shyness, they submerged themselves in the water up to their necks. Shaking from the cold, they addressed Krishna as follows. And then here's verse 14, which I will read. Maniam bhok kritas tam tu nanda gopasutam pranyam yainan gavrajas lakyam dehi vasam sivepita. Translation: the gopis said, "Dear Krishna, don't be unfair. We know that you are the respectable son of Nanda and that you are honored by everyone in Vraj. You are also very dear to us. Please give us back our clothes. We are shivering in the cold water." Wow. So they are very special verses, very special chapter, very special canto. Everything is so special about Krishna. I'd like to start this class with a question. Do you currently have your best friend or have had a best friend who likes to play jokes and has a great sense of humor? Or maybe that's even your family member. So ask yourself this question. And sometimes that best friend or your family member, sometimes his or her jokes are even inappropriate, and they screw up your own plans and schedule and make you upset. But because you truly love that friend, you go along with his or her plans anyway. As I feel very unqualified to speak about these verses from the 10th canto, I will give you the best I could come up with is an example from my own life, from my own family life. So when I come from work, I have a plan in my mind to just take a shower and relax a little bit, unwind, and eat dinner with my family. But sometimes it doesn't happen because as soon as I open the door, my little 3.5-year-old Nilamadava, he's yelling, "Daddy, daddy, come and play, come and play." He tags me on my shirt and says, "Go and play." So I have a hard time, you know, saying no to him because he's saying with so much energy and enthusiasm. And I usually delay my dinner and my shower and just go and start playing with the cars. And so I hug him and then play a little bit. And after 5-10 minutes, he's happy. So I try to manage to, like, go to the table and, you know, eat something. Because I'm so hungry after work. And sometimes I just barely started. He realizes I'm not there anymore. So he again jumps up to the table and he says, "Daddy, daddy, go play with me. Play with the cars." And I'm like, I just started eating and I'm so hungry. We usually postpone my dinner again. And then I go downstairs to the Krishna room and then we play with the cars, you know. Play with the cars again for another 15 minutes. Then he gets busy. And again, try to escape to the upstairs to finish my dinner. So although, you know, it is so hard, I put my schedule away and then try to be with my son. And sometimes when we play, you know, let's say I finish the dinner, I manage to finish the dinner, and then he again gets and texts me. And I said, "Daddy, keep play a little bit more. So we play sometimes. Sometimes he, like, you know, wrestles with me and, like, straddles me. And I just ate dinner, so my stomach is full. And he started jumping on me. He's like, "Jump, jump, jump." Now, you know, I'm like, you know, this is not Ayurvedic. This is not good. I'm not going to digest the food. But I've tried to tighten up the muscles so the food doesn't come out. And he's still jumping on me. He's having a good time. So even though my digestion may not be so good, I enjoy that, you know, I enjoy that interaction with my son, with my little son. And it deepens our relationship to exchange our love in that way. And so he's very stubborn and determined to get my attention and play with me. And I am willing to disturb my schedule and my normal routine and play with him. So I delay the dinner, I put my break time away, enter into the world of my little Nilamadava. And so this is the example I could think of. So Lord Krishna has his playful nature. He's a jokester and he's the best at it. Krishna is the best at it. And it is one of the expressions and flavors of his love for his devotees. Look at the gopis example. Example of the gopis, it's sort of outrageous and funny, and ultimately both parties enjoyed it. Look at the little butter thief. You know, there are other examples. The little butter thief, we have so many examples. You know, Krishna stealing butter, you know, he was a little bit younger, yeah, a little Kumara age. And then we have the Puganda age, and then the Kaishora age. So when he was smaller, he would steal butter from his own people, you know. His friends, he would go to his friends' houses and then he would steal the butter and feed it to his friends, the monkeys. Usually you steal it from your enemies, from people you don't like, but not so much for Krishna. It does not apply to him. He steals from his friends, and at the deeper level, they, you know, they have a great time. Externally, maybe disturbed, but actually, deep inside, they really enjoy those interactions. My very immature understanding of Krishna at this point of my sadhana bhakti is that at that more mature level of devotional service, of love exchange with Krishna, you don't really know what to expect from him. You know, I mean, it's an adventure. But that's at the more advanced levels there. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, verse 36, I believe, that he's an adventure. He's the strength of the strong. So I was raised with a different conception of God, that God is like a stern father, and he's just waiting for an opportunity to scold us and punish us for if we miss something, you know, something is not right, something is not perfect. So I grew up with that conception, and God is not exactly like that. Actually, he's quite the opposite. So if you want a life of adventure for eternity, then find out how to make friends with Krishna. How to make friends with Krishna. God is not boring and unapproachable. Aside from that, if you are content with the conception of God as a very stern father, and give him a lot of respect and very much focus on that aspect, that is also there, but it's not the only aspect of God. But if you want a life of adventure and for eternity, then find out how to make Krishna, or the Supreme Lord, your best friend. And this is what Bhakti Yoga is all about, making Krishna your best friend, how to serve the Lord and that in that service mood as a friend, a conjugal lover, servant, and or parent. So there are different levels of Bhakti Yoga, different mellows. So in this class, I'd like to elaborate a little bit. I'll use the nectar of devotion a little bit on what we can do on our side, because we understand that it is to develop a relationship, friendly relationship with Krishna, is ultimately the Lord's mercy that's channeled to us through his pure devotee. So this is the most important principle. But aside from that, what can we do on our side to approach Krishna, to attract Krishna to us, and to show him that how much we really want to deepen and awaken our relationship with him? What can we do on our side? Mercy, the mercy aspect, the grace aspect of the Lord and his pure devotees understood. So this is what I would like to focus on, cover a few points. Some of these points are, most of these points are actually from the Nectar of Devotion. And so I focus on, since I feel more comfortable with this, I pick the chapter 42 of Fraternal Loving Affairs of Krishna and his devotees. So this will be easier for me to present it like this. Go into a few aspects. What we can do on our side to develop that mood of friendship. And it is also said in Nectar of Devotion that the friendly relationship of the cowherd boys with Krishna is in some ways similar to the mood of the gopis. There are some overlaps. It is different, but there are some overlaps. So it's not completely different. So I would like to use that as our background, the friendly mood of serving Krishna, and what can we do to awaken that mood. One of the things that we can do is meditate on Lord Krishna daily. What to meditate on? In chapter 42, the Nectar of Devotion, it says, it's a nice paragraph here. I'll just read it. Krishna's age, his beauty, his bugle, his flute, his conch shell, and his pleasing attitude all provoke love and friendship for him. So if you meditate on these items, they will provoke love and friendship for him. His exceptional joking abilities, exhibited sometimes by his pretending to be a royal prince or even the Supreme Personality of Godhead, also give impetus to devotees developing love for Krishna and friendship. So you can, some of the things that helped me get get warm up my heart for Krishna when I have some setbacks, or you know, don't necessarily feel like picking up the beads and you know, doing extra rounds. I just do some reading from the 10th canto before Krishna goes to Dwarka. He's in Vrindavan, beginning with canto 10, the first chapters there, the first few chapters, Krishna. There's a very, very good description of Krishna at his Puganda age, which is 6 to 10. And this is the age cowherd boys appear to exchange loving services with Krishna when he's at that age, 6 to 10. And the first portion of the 10th canto, there are descriptions that can help you meditate on different aspects of Krishna's personality, you know, his characteristics, like the Nectar of Devotion was describing. Conchial, pleasing attitude, his conversations, joking abilities with the cowherd, conversation with the cowherd boys and gopis, his jokes. So that's meditating on Krishna daily. If you read those chapters, it really helps in warming up your heart for other items of our devotional service, such as the chanting. Personally helps me to ignite my mood for chanting when I read those descriptions. Another point is that just if you have your own best friend here, you've had that best friend over here, or maybe you don't, but you have, you know, you had that friend in the past, and you know what it takes to maintain a friendship, even in the material world. So whether that friend was also in Krishna consciousness, or in my case, you know, I was maybe somewhat God conscious before I joined Krishna consciousness, but I had a best friend, and I know what it takes to maintain that friendship. So sometimes you just give each other compliments. You just give each other compliments. So I would say to my friend, hey, you know, it's a really nice dress you're wearing, you know, and this and that. And hey, you're looking strong today. Stuff like that. We were teenagers, so. But things like that. Oh, I really like your, you know, your toy that you got from your dad. Any kind of compliments that you give, that you would give to your best friend. Just an example. So, one of the ways to express love to Krishna in this mood of friendship is to give him compliments. You know, just say it to Krishna. Like, you know, you can have a picture there. I'm sure you have a lot of pictures of Krishna in your meditation room where you do pujas and chant. You can say, in the form of a prayer, or just give Krishna compliments. You know, Krishna, you look beautiful today in this picture. You look beautiful. And you express that love. You know, I really like this picture of you, you know, with the cowherd boys, the cows. Say something that it's true, it's honest from your heart. In Nectar of Devotion, page 330, it is said that the cowherd friends of Krishna were so happy in his company that they express their transcendental feelings within themselves thus. And I'll read that for you. Dear Krishna, the cowherd boys are saying, Dear Krishna, you are always busy tending the cows which are scattered all over beautiful Vrindavan. You have a beautiful garland, a small conch shell, a peacock feather on your turban, yellow-colored silk cloth, and decorations of Karnikara flowers on your ears, and a Malika flower garland on your chest. Appearing so beautiful, when you pretend, just like an actor, to be fighting with us, you give us unlimited transcendental bliss. So these are some of the compliments that the cowherd boys were giving Krishna in Vrindavan. Also, there's a nice statement on the next page in Nectar of Devotion. One of the cowherd boys is saying, My dear friend, just look at Krishna. See how he is carrying in his hand a stick which is bound up and down. So he's carrying in his hand a stick which is bound up and down with golden rings. Look at how his turban with golden lace is showing such a beautiful luster, and how his dress is giving his friends the highest transcendental pleasure. So these are some of the compliments that our boys are describing and expressing their satisfaction with how Krishna looked and how he behaved. Just compliments. Another point that came to my mind based on reading this chapter, is that we have to be daring in our preaching activities. Nectar of Devotion, on page 33, it says that all the friends were very daring and would risk any difficulty because they were confident that Krishna would help them to be victorious in all adventures. They used to sit together and advise one another what to do, sometimes inducing one another to be engaged in welfare work. So they were encouraging each other to undertake any kind of difficulty just for the sake of adventure for Krishna, and they had faith that Krishna would defend them and protect them. Remember the pastime of the big snake Agasura. There was a conversation between the cowherd boys that they were exploring the cave. They were not maybe fully aware, or pretended not to be fully aware that it's a snake. And some of the cowherd boys, actually one of them said that, you know, even if it's a snake, you know, even if it's open mouth, and even if we enter into the jaw of that snake, Krishna will protect us. The snake can swallow us, but he cannot swallow Krishna. Let's go inside and see what's there, and then Krishna will take care of everything. So they were in that adventurous mood, willing to explore any possibilities, anything, and then they would know that Krishna would join them and protect them in their adventures. So the point I would like to make is that we can kind of try to transfer this mood into our preaching activities. Krishna will, it's a test of our faith in Krishna's protection. So I can give you for example from my own, effort, my example from my own life when I try to go on Sankirtan. I am even afraid to, you know, sometimes I park my car at somewhere like a huge mall, or, you know, somewhere in Walmart or whatever. I'm just parking a car and come out with books. And I'm even afraid to, like, just come out and go with, come up to people and say openly, you know, we have some great books on yoga. You know, I'm even afraid to do that. So there's a barrier I have to break in order for me to, like, just start smiling and talking to people. You know, there's a barrier. It's a test for me, and by no means it's a spontaneous action for me, but I force myself again and again in this trying to develop that, you know, faith and attraction and be more daring for Krishna in my endeavors to share this knowledge of bhakti yoga with others. And sometimes little miracles happen. Like one time, I really had a hard time managing to spend 1 hour talking to people outside. And I came out there, and, you know, sometimes the mind will give you these ideas that, no, people will not be interested. They will say no. They will smile or whatever, and they will just walk away. They will not give you attention. They will not respect you even. So the mind has its own actions, and then so I kind of let it go, and then I got up and started talking to people, and And the mind was right. The mind was right. Five people said no, they're not interested, and they didn't give me much attention. But then I saw this one gentleman. He was coming out of the store, and he was looking at me and smiling. I says, you know, I'll just give it one more try. You know, maybe I'll drive somewhere else. I'll give it one more try. And this gentleman happened to also be not interested in the books. I asked him, hey, how are you? We got some great books on yoga and meditation. Have you ever attempted or thought about yoga? So he says, oh, I'm not so much interested in the books, but but maybe my former wife, my ex-wife, would be interested. She was really into that. So maybe I'm not really interested for myself. And I says, you know, why are you not interested? Just not interested. But let me look at them for the sake of my ex-wife. See what you have here. And then in the course of our conversation, when he was trying to look at the books to get it for someone else, he mentioned to me he's just diagnosed with the same day he was diagnosed with third stage cancer. And so I was surprised, like, wow, it's really unfortunate, but at the same time, you look so happy. He says, you know, I'm happy because I don't care anymore. I don't care anymore. I have a lot of money, and I'm going to get a ticket to Florida, and I'm going to enjoy as much as I can before I die. And so I told him, wow, it's a really, really shocking even to me to listen to this, what you're saying. He says, you know, that's the way it is. But I take the books for my ex-wife, and I just take all of them. And he gave me a $20 bill and took the books for my, you know, all the books that I had, pretty much, like small books. So it was, you know, I had like four books in my hands, four, five. He took them, and he was very happily said, okay, so hopefully my ex-wife will call you. I even left my business card with him. And then he said, I'll be going to Florida tomorrow to enjoy my last time. And he was not even interested in like taking up any treatment. He was just ready to move on. But so it was pretty interesting. And I have no idea how the books will affect him or his ex-wife, but I was just there, and things happened like that. You know, I was surprised that it happened, but it happens. So if you're daring, the point that I'm trying to make, if you're trying to force yourself to be a little bit more daring for Krishna in your preaching activities, trying to spread the knowledge in a nice way, be gentle, but yet be firm, you know, Krishna will encourage you in different ways. So one of the ways to develop that affection for Krishna, that mood of friendship with him, is to be daring for him and trust that Krishna will protect you when you try your best to share the good news with other conditioned souls. He says, and Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita as well, in chapter 18, that for one who explains this secret of devotional service to others, his own devotional service is guaranteed, and at the end he will come back to me. And in the next verse it also says that there is no one in this world more dear to me than him who tries to spread the knowledge, give the knowledge of devotional service to other conditioned souls who are favorable. That's the thing. We don't want to share too many secrets, the deeper secrets of devotional service, with those who may not be favorable. So we have to pick your listeners and audience wisely. But we can always share some general knowledge to bring them closer, one step closer. It's a test of to be daring for Krishna, and our preaching activities is a test of surrender to our Guru's instructions, to Srila Prabhupada's instructions. My Guru Maharaj said that we have to be patient and determined, and not so concerned with the results. Obviously, we want some results, so people take our books, but we have to be patient and determined, and with very willing and loving heart approach those conditioned souls. Another point that I'd like to discuss that will help us to develop this mood of friendship for Krishna is that we have to protect Krishna and protect God consciousness, you know, outside. You know, what I mean by this is that protect the idea and principle of God consciousness. We have to stand up gently but firmly and be assertive and try to what's the right word? Try to weed out or eliminate the skepticism and atheism that is prevalent, so much prevalent in the world today. So we have to be firm about this, you know, stand up for it. And then even if we don't, if so there is a situation that warrants our interference, we interfere in the situation because someone is criticizing the devotees, someone is criticizing God consciousness, you know, we stand up for it and try to defeat the principles, not the people who say it, but the principles of skepticism and atheism. I find myself sometimes, you know, I interact with many people of different types of consciousness, and they, some of them are, you know, they may be good people character-wise, but, you know, they don't believe in God or they're atheistic. And there's some of my other people that are, like, very good Christians, you know, honest Christians. And sometimes, you know, for work-related, there are work-related get-togethers, and there's all these... a bunch of people gets together, right? Some of them are favorable to Krishna consciousness. Some of them are, you know, God conscious. Some of them are skeptics. So they converse, you know, they talk. And sometimes it happens that one of my friends criticizes my other friend or client. And, you know, one of them is a Christian. They believe in God. And the other one is an atheist, right? They're both my people, right? They pay for my services, and sometimes we have get-togethers to award them. So anyway, sometimes a situation like that, you know, I feel comfortable defending the principle of believing in God, even if it doesn't necessarily mean, you know, defending, you know, the holy name of Krishna, but just defending the principle of God consciousness. Give some arguments to protect this principle that is... beyond a reasonable doubt can be accepted by every sane, reasonable man. So stand up for those principles and protect God, God consciousness, and Krishna in the world. God doesn't need our protection, but as a service, we can stand up and protect these principles in the open. Obviously, that happens outside of the temple and when we enter our more... Varna-oriented duties that has to do with our external activities that we try to do for Krishna. So, in the Nectar of Devotion, there are some nice portions. On page 334, it says that when there was a forest fire, all of Krishna's friends neglected their own protection and surrounded Krishna on all sides to protect him from the flames. This behavior of the friends toward Krishna is described by thoughtful poets as Vyabhichari. So the cowherd boys try to protect Krishna against that fire. And sometimes there was this moment where Krishna was holding Govardhan Hill on his pinky finger, and some of the cowherd boys tried to help him too. They thought that Krishna maybe is tired or maybe he cannot make it. So they were trying to help Krishna with the mood of the expression of their love for him, to try to help him in his task. So here cowherd boys try to protect Krishna from the flames. So there's a nice example. And there's another example occurred on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. As you know, Arjuna was the warrior and the chariot, and then Krishna was his charioteer. And it so happened in the course of battle that even Krishna did not participate physically. He did not pick up a weapon in the war. He was not supposed to be attacked. He was just the charioteer of Arjuna, and Arjuna was supposed to fight and shoot arrows, right? But it so happened that this warrior Ashwatthama, he would release various types of arrows and wanted to hurt Krishna. So Arjuna stood up and he was trying to protect Krishna from the arrows, oncoming arrows that Ashwatthama was shooting. And some of the arrows were hurting Arjuna. But he was feeling ecstasy because he was protecting Krishna. So it was very special. I actually forgot about this. And then I was reading the chapter yesterday and kind of it feels very special to read about this, you know. And then Arjuna was really, really in that mood of protecting Krishna, a friendly mood. It's very special. So there's this nice example. So Arjuna felt an ecstatic love for Krishna when he was taking those arrows. They were meant for Krishna. Because Krishna is our dearmost object, the cowherd boys, will naturally protect Krishna because he's their most dearest object, and they will naturally want to protect Krishna with all their hearts and minds and strength. We should try to imbibe this mood to protect God consciousness in the world, protect any criticism that may happen, that may we be witnessing some criticism of God consciousness or Krishna consciousness, more specifically. We should always stand up for it and see what we can do to defeat that philosophy. Protect Krishna. And spread the science of devotional service to God. Another item that came to my mind yesterday when I was working on this is the singing and chanting for Krishna. The Nectar of Devotion, page 335, it is also said that in the pasturing grounds, Krishna felt a little tired and wanted to take rest. So he lay down on the ground. At that time, many cowherd boys assembled and with great affection began to sing suitable songs so that Krishna would rest very nicely. So we obviously chant our Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we chant quietly to ourselves. And we also have the kirtan portion, bhajans and kirtan when we sing. And sometimes when we are not at the temple, we tend maybe not to sing and we just get the 16 rounds accomplished and we go to work and we maybe miss some of the things that we could be doing for Krishna as far as singing the bhajans and singing the Hare Krishna mantra. So what I found useful, sometimes I am tired and I cannot focus on chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. My mind just goes there and I didn't get enough sleep, and you know, I try not to reach for coffee. I don't drink coffee, but sometimes I reach for tea. I just can't because I'm falling asleep. And if I don't have time for yoga, if I have yoga, then I don't need the tea because I can do yoga, spend 30 minutes doing yoga, and then I'm awake again for another hour or two. And then I can chant with attention. But if my mind is also another strategy that I use, that my mind is falling asleep and I cannot focus on chanting, I change the rhythm, the cadence of my chanting. Instead of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, and falling asleep, I walk and then sing. If I sing the mantra and I walk, I'm less likely to fall asleep and I have more attention. Obviously, it goes slower. The mantra goes slower and you can still chant on your beats and sing. But I use this strategy to pay attention to the mantra when I'm very tired. And so we give quality time to Krishna. We want quality time. We don't want to just be have a sleep and chant. So this is not so good. So this singing, the Maha Mantra, may distract the mind into a positive direction, and so we'll be able to pay attention to the Maha Mantra when we chant. And then when we revive the mind and we chant with attention, then you can go back to our regular chanting, however fast you chant. This is 6 minutes, 8 minutes per round. So that seemed to be very helpful for me to improve the attention of the chanting. Singing and chanting for Krishna. Obviously, the most important point for bhakti yogis is the underlying principle of all of our activities is the chanting of the Maha Mantra. With proper chanting, we remember Krishna deeper, and our remembrance of Krishna is sharper and easier with the proper chanting. Many times, since I am at this stage of practice, when I lose attention and I lose the taste and I'm just not feeling like chanting or taking a break, it is also helpful to take a break and look at the picture of Krishna. I'm sure you have many pictures of Krishna here and there at your house. Look at the picture of Krishna, try to admire him and give him some compliments, and say some prayer, say some affirmation to Krishna, and then go back to your chanting. This really helps. And one of the nice things that I gleaned from His Holiness Sachinananda Swami is that it is very good to put yourself and establish yourself in the mood of Krishna's servant before you start chanting. So you say an affirmation in front of your deities or in front of the picture of Krishna. Krishna, I am here to chant your name. I am your friend. I'm just fallen and I cannot focus. Please help me. I'm your friend. I'm your servant. I'm just fallen and I'm trying to chant your name. Please help me. And then you start chanting. So you set yourself up for success when you put yourself in that position from the very beginning. Instead of just jumping right into chanting, after taking a shower, you start chanting. Maybe do a little bit of a meditation and say something to Krishna before you start chanting. So this seems to be effective as well. And I give thanks to His Holiness Sachinananda Swami for these hints. Affirmations of our relationship with Krishna. Whatever relationship you may be aspiring for, whether you know what your relationship with Krishna is or you don't know, these affirmations are good. It could be a more general affirmation as well. It doesn't have to be a specific affirmation. But that seems to work too. So all these points help us to increase our mood of loving service to Krishna and awaken our service to Krishna in our specific mood. So in a quick summary, we covered meditating on Krishna daily, and how on Krishna looks, how he behaves, how he walks, and expressing love to Krishna by giving him compliments, and be more daring in our activities to protect God consciousness in the world today. In this way, protecting Krishna. Also, singing. Not only chanting the Maha Mantra, but singing the Maha Mantra. It tends to give us a very good mood of loving service to God when you sing. It's very natural to sing. Even if you don't feel like you're a good singer, then you should still sing, even to yourself and to Krishna. It's a very good thing. And then, last but not least, is the underlying principle of chanting and in the mood of relationship with Krishna. You say affirmation that you're God's servant, Krishna's servant, and you're here fallen, but you're here to chant His holy name. Please help me out. I'm your fallen servant, and then start chanting. So you affirm that relationship with Krishna before you start chanting. That is also very helpful in awakening our friendship mood to Krishna. So I'm sorry I went a little bit long, but I tried to make all these points. Hope it was clear and helpful. And if you have any questions, if there's any time, then please ask. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.